What's going on, freaks and geeks, gals and ghouls? It is I, Richard Zahm, with Corpses for Conversation, a music, movie, media, gaming, geek culture, and horror podcast. Have a cool episode for you today. We're going to change it up a little bit. We're still talking about movies on this one, but we're talking about physical media versus streaming media. What drives us crazy about it? And what we go, man, this is really awesome. We enjoy this. In the room with me, of course, is...
EJ, Toxic J.
Evil Ed here.
And then Toxic J actually has a cool guest in the room for us here, so I'm going to give it to you, sir.
Yes, I do. I brought along with me the one and only, the main man himself. Elm Street Warrior. How you doing, buddy?
I am okay. How are you guys tonight?
A little under the weather, but I gotta be here for everybody.
Another day.
Let me ask you this real quick. How did you get linked up with Elm Street Warrior there, Toxic J?
Honestly, I don't really remember. He just popped up on, I think, one of the local, it had to be like t-shirt companies, like Gutter Grabs or Fright Rags. I just saw the name, Elm Street Warrior. I'm like, Elm Street Warrior. Okay, come on. Typical, you know? So I looked at his thing and then I was like, all right, you know, okay, I'll click and follow. One thing led to another. And then I noticed like we've been talking like often. I'm like, oh, dude, this guy's pretty fucking cool. So, and we've been talking daily or every other day since.
That's really awesome. So for our fans who don't know, it's really cool. We have Elm Street Warrior in here with us. He's a YouTuber. He puts out amazing content about horror movies. And that's something that Toxic J and Evil Ed lap up in lavishment. Me, again, I pick and choose what I'm going to do to my heart and cause shock to my nervous system, but that's just me. But if I may ask, Elm Street Warrior, how long have you been doing the YouTube and when did you start gaining traction with your channel?
I started it a year ago. I really started gaining traction when I started doing collection videos. It was a horror VHS collection video that I started with, and that kind of like really boosted it ever since. And then I recently posted the Scream 5 confrontation between Sydney and Ghostface.
Hello, Sydney.
Hello there.
Forgot the first rule of surviving a stab movie. Never answer the...
I'm bored.
Wait!
Holy shit, it's Ghostface!
I got you again. Because I really, really wanted to be the one to kill you.
Like that little reunion, it just really started taking off even more after that. So, and then I started my podcast as well. Just kind of all those things kind of just basically took it off.
Yeah, I'm a multifaceted multimedia person, just like me. I appreciate that. We're still going after all the different avenues. Now, Ed, I know, has boasted about it, that he has this thing for, like, in the last episode we were cracking up because he's like, even if the movie's crappy, if it's something I enjoy, I'm still going to go get the box set or the Blu-ray release. And I'm like, what? What? Are you serious? So he's another one who collects, like, massive collective sets and stuff like that. How many are you up to, Ed?
Honestly, I don't know. I literally just bought some more today. Today, my family and I went out to the Santa Fe swap meet, to Hughes swap meet, and I saw this guy had a vendor. He had Blu-rays for like a dollar, and I just went through them. I was just like, a dollar Blu-rays? Let's go.
Oh, yeah, I can't blame you. I went ham.
That's right up your alley, Zom.
Oh, that would have been like, bye-bye paycheck. I'd be like, sir, do you take Venmo? Because we about to do some business.
Exactly. I was like, say less. I just started putting stuff in my bag. I was like, let's go. Got some good stuff. Right. So I don't know where I'm at because I'm constantly buying. You know, I know there's certain people that like to make certain comments or make fun of me. Like, why do you still buy Blu-rays and DVDs if they're streaming services? It's like, let me educate you. Let's sit down. Let's have a conversation. And let me tell you why I still like to collect my movies and TV shows.
Well, I'm glad you segued that, because that's the important topic on the dais today. We are talking physical media versus streaming media. And I know Toxie J has a lot to say about it. I know you have a lot to say about it, Evil Ed. I have my feelings on the topic, and I'm more on the streaming side, not by choice, but I will elaborate once it comes to my turn to do so. So I'm going to actually pass the floor over. I'll let you go, Toxie J, to lead it off, and then you can piggyback off of that with Ed, and then, of course, with Elm Street Warrior. And then when you guys come to streaming, I will jump in. So the floor is yours.
Physical media, to me, it's an important part of my life. Like the artwork, having it physically in my hand, something like I can show off or something. Like me personally, I'm 50-50 when it comes to streaming services. Like I don't let streaming services dictate what I watch, because God forbid my Wi-Fi in my house goes down, I'm screwed. Can't watch it. So if I had the physical copy, I don't have that problem. It's super important to me. And yes, we live in a day and age where streaming is more of a thing now, and physical media is leaning towards the past, but I don't know why. I think it's kind of lazy, just in my opinion. And there are a lot of good movies that haven't even been released on Blu-ray or DVD. You can only imagine they're not on streaming services. You get what I'm saying, guys? I don't know if that makes any sense.
Exactly. So I think the problem is that certain people that, you know, rely on streaming services don't know the behind the scenes stuff, don't realize, you know, the rights and distribution to certain films. And, you know, it's split apart. You know, for example, let me give you a quick example. Friday the 13th, you know, the first seven films were done by Paramount. And then
there were eight films.
Eric, thank you. The first eight were done by Paramount. And then the rest were done by Warner Brothers New Line Cinema. So that's a complication right there. You know, you have Paramount having the first pretty much majority of it, but then Warner Brothers has the rest. So it's like, okay, you know, there's DVD collections that only have the first eight and are missing like Jason X and the other films, or even Freddy vs. Jason. So it becomes complicated. And a lot of people don't know that. You know, like HBO Max can have like the last few Friday the 13th, but they can't have the rest because that's over on Paramount. You know, it's complicated and you can't really enjoy stuff like that. So buying set is very important, because, you know, if you're someone who does like to have marathons and it's like it gets complicated behind the scenes, mass majority of people don't understand that.
You can go, like, if you want to do a movie marathon, you can only go up to a certain sequel before, like, oh, okay.
Yeah. It's like this, they don't have it because that's actually by another studio. Even like a lot, it happens to a lot, even horror specifically. I know Child's Play has a lot of rights issues. Some were done by MGM, some were done by Dimension, I believe. Well, where do you go if you don't have, you know, DVDs or Blu-ray? You got to go here, you got to go there. Even for like TV shows, there's a TV show that I love. It's called Reno 911. I love that show. But here's the thing. If you're a fan, the original seasons are on HBO Max, but the new seasons are like on a different platform. And then if you want the movies, that's on a different platform there. So it's all over the place. You need multiple streaming services to finish one show. How can you rely on these streaming services? Is, you know, if you truly love the show or a movie, just buy it, own it. Just one-time payment instead of collecting these streaming services that are probably costing you monthly.
Well, like I said, I'm going to get to me when it comes to streaming services, but you said a mouthful, and it is true. The big picture of the issue of what we're all facing is a lot of it's licensing rights. If the studios ain't getting their cut of the pie, you ain't getting to watch a damn thing. That's just end of it. There's no way to walk around it, talk around it. They just say, either you paying or you watching snow on the screen. That's all you're going to get. I'm actually going to go down to you, Elm Street Warrior, for your collective set. I can definitely tell you're a physical media person mainly. So I want to hear your take on it.
Well, I actually like both. First of all, streaming services I like for the simple fact I'm a picky watcher. I'm not going to blind buy every single thing. Sometimes streaming services I feel like are helpful, because I'll sometimes go and watch something and it'll be stupid and I'll be like, wow, I'm really glad I didn't buy that.
Because that's true. I agree with that.
To a certain extent with physical media is fine. But I'm not going to blind buy something and then I watch it and then it be stupid. And then it's just sitting in my collection and taking up room because I'm not feeling it. So to a certain extent, I do feel like streaming services help. But with that being said, sometimes streaming services, I feel like, are a hit or a miss too, because Shudder, I feel like, is a prime example of this. Shudder is awesome. I love Shudder. But I feel like Shudder, for me, focuses way too much on Joe Bob Briggs only. And they don't, I don't want to say they put bullshit movies on there because they don't, but I feel like to a certain extent, they focus way too much on that and don't really put enough quality with putting other films on there. It's kind of just everything Joe Bob Briggs. And that's what I don't like, at least with Shudder, because Tubi, I can say Tubi does have great movies. I really don't have a complaint about Tubi. But then it goes back to what Jeremy did say. I did agree with that point earlier. If your internet go out and you can't watch nothing, you know, that's unfortunate. And then you basically don't got nothing to watch.
Yeah, I mean, you're left in the wind at that point. I agree with that, too. It's a toss-up, like you said, Elm Street. I like both. I like physical media, and I like streaming services. But again, the catch-22 is, like Toxigen, you both said, if your internet goes down, you are just flatlined. You ain't going to be able to watch something. You have to rely on your physical media, which is fine. But here's where stuff for me, and it touches more on what Ed was saying, this is what kind of throws me for a loop, and it pisses me off a little bit, because they're trying to re-squeeze, you know, blood out of a rock type situation. My thing is, I don't mind physical media coming out, but I do get very tired of one movie going, it's the 5th year anniversary. We're re-releasing a new issue with 2 extra minutes of footage you never got. It's the 15-year anniversary. We got additional commentary from the remaining actors that are alive, and we're going to repackage it and shoot it right back out to shoot at. That drives me up the wall sideways. Why not just do like the James Bond collection and give me one solid chunk of what I want and charge me an outrageous premium, and then I don't have to worry about it for the next 20, 30 years?
And I do agree with that to a certain extent. I actually agree with that a lot, because I'm starting to feel like Scream Factory is starting to be guilty of this specifically, because what they'll do is, oh, we released this movie. Oh, no, wait, we're going to release it in 4K. And then it's just, which you're seeing that a lot now, all of these re-releases coming in 4K, which is just like, I just bought that last year. I'm not rebuying the same thing over and over. And I do agree with that. It's like you just re-spending money in a cycle. And it's like, no. And for me, I feel like I with streaming services, because I'm guilty of this, I do have a whole collection of movies, but half of the time I stream. So I think the point mainly, and I don't can't speak for everyone of with physical media, is at least for horror fans, we just like to have it physically. Or I can at least say for me, I enjoy having it physically, but most of the time, yeah, I'm gonna go and stream it. To have it physically is awesome as well.
That's the trade-off, because the streaming service is the ease of access. You don't have to worry about taking something out of the case, scratching and damaging your movie, loading into your DVD player, or as Toxic J and me still collect, and I don't know if you guys either, but if you do, awesome. I still come across VHS, but there's certain ones I will not rewatch because those tapes are so old. But thankfully, I've actually spent money. I have software where I can pull from VHS and digitally convert to my PC. So that way I'm like, cool, I don't have to worry about it no more. So that's also,
and I'm definitely like that. I am so like you with that. There's like time I have like a whole thing of VHSs, and half the time I'll still stream it because I'm like, do I really want, I like, because I'm very like anal with messing the tape up. I'm exactly like you with this. It's only like I'll watch it like a couple times, but if it's like, if I can get away with streaming it, okay, so be it.
Now with Talk to Jay, I know he's gonna be having his reservations about it. And I'm going to agree with you on it, because even though we're streaming it to save the quality of the tape, we're actually losing some of the original quality that's not quality, but some of the original content that's on the VHS that gets lost in transition from when they digitally get it ready to stream. Yeah. There is instances like that that happen.
So it's funny that you actually mentioned that, Zom. I have a quick story. Elm Street actually knows, as I made many posts, and even you, Ed, like one of my all-time favorite slasher movies is My Bloody Valentine from 1981.
Then he cut out. Every February 14th, Harry comes back to town, his pickaxe stained with blood, just for someone to kill, should they not heed his warning.
No! No, get away!
I love that movie. I cosplay that character. Everything. I have figures. Now, I made the mistake. Like, you know what? I feel a little nostalgic. I'm going to watch it on my VCR. So I pop it in and I watch it. It starts up like 2 minutes in. I hear that.
Oh, like the tracking kicked in.
That's
when you scream like a horror movie. You go, no, my.
Yeah. Teeth. So it gets stuck at a certain part and I freaked out. You know, I try to eject it and then kind of rewind it a little. And then once I get past a certain point, then it plays normal. But me being a dumbass, I was fucking with it, ate my fucking tape. I was so heartbroken.
That's a horror movie. VHS tape. No.
I was really pissed. But I was pissed at myself because I thought about it already. I'm like, you know what? I should leave it alone. Don't touch it. But you know, me pacing back and forth, I'm like, no, I can fix this. I can fix this. I couldn't fix it. And I was so devastated. I punched that VHS like so hard. It just cracked. I'm like, it's useless at this point. I just have the cover. And to this day, collectors like myself are like on eBay, or if you do find it, it's insanely expensive. And I'm like, no, I'm not paying $100 for a tape that I already own.
No, I mean, I agree with you. 100% on that. Even for old school editing heads, and I learned this through my instructors when I went to school, they would actually walk us through the principle of when you would have that issue happen to a tape, you would actually have to run it through one of the old school analog editing machines and take that section of damaged film out and then splice the two sections together so that way it runs correctly. But then again, you lose that chunk of video from the movie. It's painful no matter what you do.
Yeah, I swear to God, Zom, for a whole week, it just irritated me. And I'm at work and like, fuck, man.
I'm glad how we all bowed our head in silence. Like even Elm Street was like, man, I feel your pain, dude. We've all had
that's why I don't watch my VHS.
When you eject the tape and like you think everything's fine, and as you pull it out, you see like the banana ribbon start going. You're like, no, sweet God, no.
Nope, I don't watch them that often. I'll like pop them in every once in a while just to run the VCR, but it's like, no, I'll get away with streaming it.
Yes, if you can, I say go for it, because you're adding to the longevity of the actual physical media you have, which is smart. Now, Ed, I wanted to ask you this, and it's also for the whole panel as well. You guys can chime in on it, because Elm Street was talking about it prior, about me talking about physical media and how he says Shout Factory and other companies are re-releasing stuff because they know they can get away with it.
Charge an arm and a leg, by the way.
What about all these exclusive random Walmart releases every Halloween? Like they did all the classic horror movies with like all black and orange covers. And then
don't get me started on that, man.
Covers. I actually thought that was cool. Not that I bought anything from it, but I thought that was cool.
But you didn't buy it though.
No, I didn't buy it because I already had most of them.
You understood their theory behind going after us collectors who have collector's sickness and going, watch, don't freaking buy it. We'll put it out there.
It was cool for people that haven't collected those films. They had an opportunity to get something new.
Yeah, of course.
Well, I knew I had a problem because there's certain horror movies I'm a big fan of and I'll collect multiple copies. And there's just other movies I'll collect multiple copies of. And two of them I'm guilty as charged in particular is Night of the Living Dead. You know, big ups to Papa George Romero. Love you, Pops. Miss you. At one point, I had to stop myself because I had 14 copies.
God damn.
About six of those. No, six of them were because they were the releases from different countries. So they were in the different languages. Like, that's how deep the sickness went. I said, I love this movie so much. I have multiple copies. I have a copy in, like, Portuguese. I have a copy in Spanish. I have a copy in French. Like, craziness. Because I found this stuff randomly, you know, going to thrift stores, going to Amoeba Music, just awesome, obscure finds. And when I find it, I would jump on it. Different.
You releases. Still own those?
Huh?
You still own those, actually?
Yes, different releases for
artwork. Okay, I was about to say, don't get rid of those.
No, yeah, different releases for artwork and whole, you know, slipcover variants. Just like comic books, it got insanely wild. And that's why I started getting resentful and annoyed with the physical media because they kept doing this. And the second movie that did that to me was Terminator 2 Judgment Day. I have multiple copies of that because they did like a steel book before it was popular with Blu-ray, with DVDs, that they had the shaping of the axle, the actual exoskeleton for the Terminator. And I had like six other different variants. And I just told myself, enough, I have to stop. I know I love this movie, but this is redundantly ridiculous at this point. I need to walk away from the table. I had to be like Kenny Loggins. I know when I got no one to hold him, and I got no one to fold him. And right now I got to fold because
you got to know when to hold him, know when to fold him, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
I'm way in over my head. Like, I can't do it. With me saying that, and again, with the streaming media services, I do agree with what Elm Street was talking about. I mean, I'm guilty. I have multiple channels. Like, I have Hulu and all. I have so many of them now. There's no trade-off to me having cable. It's like having cable because I have all these multiple services I sign up for, which I don't get to watch a multitude of them, but I have them because somehow it causes me to have some therapeutic moment just to know that I have access to it, even though I don't watch it all. So that's another form of the sickness. Big ups to Ed and to you, Toxigy. You guys have kicked me codes and I've come across codes. The reason why I started transferring over to streaming is pretty much what Elm Street Warrior was talking about, is I wanted to save the likelihood of damaging, losing, or causing wear and tear to the physical media I have. And I started converting everything. But I did it smartly. I found websites. I got about 2,700 movies converted streaming digitally that I own now. Majority of them, I only spent maybe 25 cents up to a dollar to find.
I mean, you have to admit, though, like, if you own the physical copy, because I'm guilty of it, own the physical copy, but it's streaming. It's the result to a little bit of laziness. I mean, taking the time to look for it, opening it, firing up your PS4 or 5 or whatever you watch movies on. I'm guilty of it.
Are you guys complaining?
I'm actually not like that at all. Like, I don't care if it's on a streaming service. I get up, I grab my Blu-ray because it's in higher quality video, higher quality and sound. You know, I get up, I watch it. I get my Blu-ray. I don't care if it's on streaming services. I'd rather just put it on my Blu-ray. But that's one thing you just said, Jay, that I don't like doing. When it comes to my PlayStation, I don't like powering up my PlayStation. So I do have just a separate Blu-ray player. So it's just simple for me. Like, I spend the money to just have a Blu-ray player just because I don't like turn on my PlayStation just to watch Blu-ray. But I get up, I watch it, I don't care. It's like, I'll just watch it on my Blu-ray because I just prefer it. I take care of them. I got, you know, electronic cleaners to make sure the disc is always clean. I take extra care of them, and I dust my cases, you know, make sure they're all good and clean.
God damn,
I want them to last.
So,
you know, because
so we have a little bit of an anal retentive collector in the house. But
I love my collection, especially since I have, you know, that's the beauty of having a collection and looking for these, like my Phase 1 and Phase 2 MCU sets is the suitcase with the Tesseract inside with the Iron Man all the way up to Avengers. It's a dope Blu-ray set. And then my Phase 2 set is the orb from Guardians of the Galaxy. And it has Iron Man 3 all the way up to Ant-Man, which is Phase 2. It's beautiful. And I've been waiting 5 years for Phase 3, but Marvel, unfortunately, have never released a Phase 3 set. So that breaks my heart. You know, I like to take care of them. Or even like the Evil Dead anthology. I have the anthology that looks like the Necronomicon Ex Mortis, the Book of the Dead. It's so dope. It even has like pages inked in blood. It's a great collection. So I make sure I take care of everything, take care of my discs, take care of the cases. I just prefer to watch them, Jim. I don't care if it's on a streaming service. I will get up and I will play my Blu-ray disc.
I like how he points out, to rebut what you just said about the laziness side of things, Toxic J, and because we jokingly call him Mr. Skinny Swole, he's walking through physical media fitness with us, talking about we ain't doing the proper exercise. You're not lifting correctly to put the DVD and Blu-ray into the tray the correct way.
You gotta bend your knees.
How dare you, sir? I know I'm a big bastard, but I'm not a big bastard in the way that way. Like, that's messed up, man. Trying to show us up. I see.
I just prefer it. Like, the other day I was trying to rewatch on HBO Max The Batman because it's now streaming on there. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I turned it off because I felt it was too dark. Like, I couldn't see anything in certain scenes. So I'm just like, you know what? I can't watch it on the streaming services.
So
I'm
going to wait till it looks better when you get it fit on physical.
I believe so. I strongly believe so because there's multiple times where I would see something on a streaming service and the quality isn't that great. But then I'll buy it on Blu-ray and it's like, okay, it's so much better. It's so much better. And I hope it will be like that for the Batman once it comes out on Blu-ray, because it just looks too dark on HBO Max. Like, there's the fight scene with Batman and Catwoman's first encounter. Like, I couldn't see anything. And I have a good television, so I know it's not my television, but it's
you're like, I wear glasses, so like,
and I got glasses on, you know, I got my four eyes on. I know it ain't me. So again, the quality is always better when I buy my Blu-ray. So
okay, so let me go back to the fact we were talking about streaming services and how Elm Street Warrior talked about there was other different streaming services you can go from. I know I mentioned it in prior episodes. I knew there was different, so just like dedicated streaming service for horror content for horror fans. And he said Shudder. I knew there was at one point there was a Scream, literally just called Scream. There was a streaming service, and then there was, for a short-lived period of time, didn't Fangoria also have like a digital streaming service for a little bit before they took it down?
Not that I remember.
I don't recall that.
I knew at one point there was like five or six of them, but there was four primary that people always went to. So aside from Shudder, is there any other ones that you guys knew of or dabbled in or came across that you liked, or you were just like, nah, it's not for me?
Actually, Elm Street wasn't there. I can't remember what it was. It's the streaming service that had Freddy's Nightmares on there. I know you were up on
Scream Box. That was, I only had like a 7-day trial of it, but I only pretty much got it for Freddy's Nightmares.
That's the only place you can actually watch it.
Yeah. See, that's the thing too. Like, I love that show and I really want to watch it, but who owns the rights to that? Because there's not even like DVDs or nothing, man. I really love,
I'm not even sure who owns the rights. I know they did like DVD. They did a volume one in like 2003, but it sold horribly and they didn't release anymore. You can find, I will say though, there is a guy on Instagram that he sells the complete series and you can get them from him for like $20. It's like
Holy crap.
Okay. I need that in my collection, man. Cause that's the other thing. Relying on streaming services, it's horrible sometimes. Just because, let's say, for example, you have Disney Plus, that's obviously everything Disney. You have HBO Max, that's supposedly everything Warner Brothers. But the problem is, too, like they're supposed to be the home of their respective studios, but they don't have everything still. And that doesn't make sense to me. You know, for example, just today, I was watching, you know, one of my favorite shows of all time, Tales from the Crypt. I have the complete series on DVD. I love Tales from the Crypt. Who owns Tales from the Crypt? Warner Brothers. But they don't have it on HBO Max. Why isn't it on there? It should be.
I think I only have volume one.
It's like an HBO exclusive.
It's an HBO exclusive show. It's a Warner Bros. Produced show, but they don't have it. And it's like, okay, I don't care that it's on there. But it's just to my point is these studios have rights to certain stuff, but don't make it available. It's like, why not? You know, especially now, since, again, HBO Max is the home of Warner Brothers. Disney Plus is the home of Disney. They don't have everything. And then you have the issue with, especially HBO Max, that they'll put stuff up and then take it away, which doesn't make sense. You know, like, for example, Godzilla versus Kong and Mortal Kombat, you know, came out roughly too far apart from each other when HBO Max first launched. But then after maybe like a month or so, it was removed. It was taken away from the catalog. And it's like, why? And it's like one of those situations where I have the Blu-rays for both films. And it's like, I don't care. I have them on Blu-ray. I can watch them whenever I want. When I hear certain people say, hey, what's going on with these movies? They're HBO exclusives. But then they have the power to say, hey, you know what? We're going to take these away for a while, make you crave it, and then put it back. And hopefully we'll get new subscribers to say, hey, we put these back on here. And, you know, another thing, too, that I started noticing is these companies still work with each other. You know, Warner Brothers, like a lot, they don't, obviously they're not going to promote this, but Warner Brothers still has a contract with Netflix. Netflix is still allowed to have Warner Brothers media on their streaming service. And it's, again, that's something that's not promoted. HBO Max is supposed to be the exclusive, you know, it's like only Warner Brothers here. If you want to watch everything Warner Brothers, only go here. But yet we're still going to make a contract with Netflix because we still want to make more money. So we go over here. And then Warner Brothers also made a contract with Apple TV to do a Godzilla live action series for the MonsterVerse. And it's like, okay, so the movie's over at HBO Max, but now I still need to get Apple TV streaming service now so I could watch the TV series that's connected to this universe. That's, you know, it's complicated and I hate it. Problem is too, though, is that we might not get them on Blu-ray. because Warner Brothers has made a statement that they will eventually push away from Blu-ray releases now that they have HBO Max, that they're probably not going to be releasing Blu-rays going on after this year, actually, which worries me. And hopefully the sales of Zack Snyder's Justice League on Blu-ray, because that sold out like crazy. Millions of copies last year. It was one of the highest selling Blu-rays in a long time. And I was hoping that those numbers make them realize that they still have some money to make there. Because even Wonder Woman 84 was actually the top selling Blu-ray of 2021, believe it or not, which is weird. There's still money to be made. Like, so hopefully they don't cut them out, because it's frustrating, because I like to own them, because they do that. They have the power to put them on, take them off. And then where do you go? They have to go here to keeping track of a certain movie and TV show franchise. Oh, I got to go over there. And it's frustrating. Oh, we do have the rights to this, but we're not going to upload it. Why? Just because.
There's a couple reasons to that, and I'm going to touch on them really quickly. One, it's marketing strategy, because they know they're going to keep you on the bait and hook situation to keep you enticed. The taking of certain shows and stuff down from a streaming service is two parts. One, it's the cycling system. They want to remove it to kind of keep it fresh, to keep you enticed to want to keep paying that subscription service, because eventually it's going to come back around. Short-term licensing agreements. They only last for a certain amount of time, and then they have to renegotiate the terms of how much you're going to pay them to give you access to stream them through your service for a certain amount of time. Netflix has spent millions of dollars doing that. They took a lot of content down because they couldn't afford to pay all those royalty rights for the licensing fees. Case in point right now, what's going on with Netflix, for them having to change the structure of their subscription service for the monthly services and all, because of price of inflation, the cost of movies, the cost of licensing on movies. They actually lost, what was it, like 50 million subscribers in a day?
50, 60.
In a day?
60.
Right. And then they're going to expect to lose another 2 million more, because now they're adding in that tier service where they're going to have to add commercials into it to make some form of ad revenue on the tail end. I mean, I always saw it was coming. I never questioned it. I knew at some point it was going to happen, because this is what happens. The times have changed and they have to keep up with it. It's no different than us watching regular TV and having to sit through commercials. They're just, rehashed it in a different package.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm talking specifically about HBO Max and Disney Plus. They are the licensing rights. I understand with Netflix or like Amazon or Hulu, but HBO Max and Disney are the license. It makes no sense to me.
But I'm going to say this. The thing with streaming services is that tricky. You know what? I do agree in the terms. Streaming services, I'm going to break it like this. It's been like that for a long time. You never see something where it's on there forever. No, at some point, they have to take it off. And it is unfortunate. I do agree to a certain extent, because it's like with HBO Max, there's no reason why, you know, Tales from the Crypt and some of these other series really aren't there. And they premiered on HBO. So you would think automatically, oh, okay, they would be there, and they're not. But again, it goes to what you said. Price inflation, times have changed. So it's like these companies really don't have the money that they once did to do a lot anymore. This is why prices you're seeing as clearly, even with subscription services, they're getting higher and higher and higher. I remember when Netflix was $7, and now Netflix is like, what, $16, $17, $18?
I believe it's going up to $20 now. It's going up to
$20. Yeah, I get it, but it's like, to a certain extent, Netflix is not all of that to be going up to damn near $20.
Me personally, like, Netflix is like losing the streaming wars. I think the last movie that I saw on there, sorry, Zom, was Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2022. You know, me and Elm Street loved that movie. You know, Zom wasn't really a fan with it. Ed thought it was okay. But I think that was, probably the last Netflix movie or show or whatever I've watched.
Yeah. I mean, and I agree with that, because there's not many movies that I watch on Netflix. I'll watch a movie on Shudder quicker than I will Netflix. Actually is the streaming services that I use the least. So
yeah, I think Netflix is going down too, because obviously now that you have certain movie studios making their own dedicated streaming services, why do you need Netflix? Unfortunately, where they're spending money to get licenses from these other studios, like, you know what, instead we're just gonna make our own to have all our catalog specifically. So it's, I don't see, but right now the executives over at Blockbuster are probably laughing. They're like, haha, Netflix, come join the club.
No, I mean,
nothing is forever. So nothing is forever.
No, it's absolutely correct. And Elm Street Warrior, I know you're unlimited on time. So I want to ask one more question to you guys. And it's for you guys primarily, panel, because again, you are more of the horror movie aficionados than I am. With the respect to physical media and streaming media, you guys can give me 5 or 6 movies apiece, whichever which way you want to dice it up. I want to ask, for movies that you guys truly enjoy that you haven't seen come to physical or streaming media, what would be some of those that would be like crown jewels or movies of influence that you think of your own category selection that you would want to see in the limelight for horror movie fans to watch that they haven't put out there or they've limited to where you can't really get it?
Oh,
Tree, what are we doing with you?
Who? Oh, okay. Okay, for one trick or treat. First of all, Evil Dead introduced me to this movie. Awesome 80s metal movie. I just want to say, for starters, I feel like it definitely needs to be out there more. Prom Night 2, as you can clearly see behind me.
Hi, Mary Lou speaking. Sorry, I can't come to the phone right now. But I'm busy at the prom. Places to go.
Hello, Mary Lou. Prom Night 2.
Awesome sequel that really needs a Scream Factory release, and it still hasn't even gotten it.
They just got like a basic reason. DVD release on that?
They do, but it's so hard. It's out of print and it's so hard to find that it really does need a Scream Factory release. That's the thing. Like, I gotta go with Scream Factory right quick. I really feel like the movies that they really do need to put out, they don't. Like, Stay Alive is another example of this. That needs a Scream Factory release. There are so many. I don't even think I could just pick 6 because it's so many that I feel really.
The floor is yours right now, sir. You can rattle them off. You are the guest on the show right now.
You know, it's that. I'm trying to think of what else because it's so freaking many. Oh, my God.
I can give you all a fun one. Again, since I'm very limited with what I watch horror, I would love to see a full box set in 4K resolution with upgraded audio of Dark Shadows, a TV series. Fantastic. Great show. Loved it.
Wait, no. Oh, no, wait. They just have a DVD collection, right? Okay.
It hasn't been upgraded, and that's a long series.
I'll have to check that one out.
I couldn't get past the movie. So let me ask you this, gentlemen. Maybe for Elm Street. I don't know. That could be a little before his time type thing. Maybe you, Ed. I mean, Tom, different story.
Tell you about that? I will reach through. I will full ring. I'll reach in.
You know, Tom's sensitive about his age, man. Putting it out there.
Sorry. Okay, so do any of you gentlemen in this day and age still rent movies from a video store?
You out your damn mind. Of course.
We don't even have any too. What?
I do have some video stores by me that they exist. Unfortunately, I never rent them, but like I'll walk in just to see like the tumbleweeds, you know, scrolling through the alleyways here. They exist still, which I'm surprised. Like I wonder how they still open for business, but I've never rented actually.
I guess I'm the odd man out because I actually do rent at a video store. It's a great place. It's called Videotech in South Pasadena. And it's literally down the street from the Myers house from Halloween 1978. I go there at least maybe every other weekend. I want to teach my kids the importance of physical media.
Okay, so wait. There's the difference there. There is a planned objective agenda behind that. You want to pass that legacy on to your kid. If your kid wasn't around, you probably wouldn't do it. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, but I'll
crack one of these hearing aids on real quick.
Right now.
Oh yeah, ice cold and frosty. Haterade's delicious right there.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Surprisingly, we haven't had some Haterade in this whole episode. Well, I guess right now.
Are you kidding me? I'm hating on these streaming services right now. I've canceled a lot of my subscriptions. I'm a collector through and through.
You know, I
just borrow them.
I had to cancel some because even though I'm in college right now, they give you amazing breaks on certain services you sign up for. Like I pay like $3 here or $3 there for some of them. But once I collectively saw, like I had like 12 different streaming services at one point. I'm spending like $50. I'm like, I'm paying for cable again. I am legitimately paying cable for all this. And I'm like, no, this is insane.
All right, gentlemen, before we wrap this episode up, I got a weird question. If your house caught on fire and you can only grab a handful of movies to save, what would they be? You pretty much said Night of the Living Dead. I mean, you can add a little more, but I'm gonna go with you, Elm Street. What are you going to grab?
Halloween, Slumber Party Massacre, Silent Night, Deadly Night, just Prom Night 2, probably.
Ed, the list
goes on and on.
Ed, I kind of have a feeling what yours is, but I'll let you explain or say it. I could be wrong, but what is it?
No, for me is I'm going to cheat because it's going to be my collector sets. You know, I'm grabbing my Tales from the Crypt set. You know, I'm grabbing my Phase 1, Phase 2 set. I'm grabbing my Evil Dead set. Those are my top because those are just beautiful collections and I can watch those day in, day out. So I'm saving my sets.
Your girlfriend's like, what about me? What about you later?
I literally bought her Wizard of Oz on Steelbook. It's a beautiful Wizard of Oz Steelbook because she loves that movie. I'm going to leave it to burn. I'm sorry. I'm going to leave it to burn.
Wait, I'm glad you mentioned the girlfriend, Toxic J, because I'm telling you, skinny, swole with his muscles, he going to grab his girl. Grab a bed sheet and go, you going out the window first, and then I'm launching these bad boys at you. And if you drop them, so help me God, you want to be back in this house on fire.
Some of these are launching these bad boys out the window.
Catch it, baby. Here it comes.
Catch it. Yeah, you better catch that.
You'll be like, don't worry, I'm okay. Well,
yeah, but how's the steel books? Are they bent?
Asshole.
For me, that's tough for me because I have, again, I'm a collector like everybody here on the episode. I have so much. But then I also have converted due to space. And that was one of the things I want to talk about with the prime real estate, especially in LA being very expensive. And I know Elm Street, you're over on the East Coast and space over there is a high commodity of price as well. I started converting a lot of my collection. I got rid of a lot of the plastic cases and I bought a lot of the Case Logic DVD sleeve cases. And I started condensing everything to put it all together. So there's about two of them I can grab that have pretty much all the most important movies to me. The PS4 games they're fucked. The PS3 games, they're fucked. My PS2 sleeve is coming with me, and my two travel cases that I have complete with all my Nintendo and Genesis games and the Super Nintendo games, we're all taken off in one lump sum. That's what I'm saving. Because most of that, once that melts down, you can't replace that. You can find movies, but you won't be able to replace original cartridge games because they're becoming very more hard to collect and obscure.
So looking at my collection, I'm probably only going to take one, and it has to be my entire VHS collection of the Universal Classic Monsters collection on VHS.
That's a great choice.
If you can get to it, I think your wife will give you that look. You'd be able to put that down and grab the kids.
Don't forget the children.
No, I will have my kids with their backpacks here. Just stuff them in there. I will hold my youngest. My oldest will have the backpack full of them. I will carry my dog and probably my base. And I'll be like, hey, sorry, babe, you're on your own. I wouldn't say that, but
he's going to be like, why is this diaper bag filled with VHSs?
Wow. Well,
kill me if I did that. So
on that note, a very macabre tales we have told over physical media and streaming video. You heard the lessons of the house is on fire. Some people may lose their lives because we're walking out the door with our collections.
Yeah.
So with that being said, we're coming towards the end of the episode. You guys have been fantastic. I appreciate all the input everyone's been putting in. Much like we do with the other episodes, I know I mentioned the bookend, but right now I'm going to say this is the collector's case. We said what we were going to freaking keep if there was an issue to arise. So as we come to a close with this, just a couple cool horror movies that you guys would recommend for upcoming horror fans, like some primary ones you think they should watch, because we like to give you guys reference and source material. materials to pull from. And after we do that, we'll be bringing this episode to a close and getting out of here.
What do you, Elm Street? What do you think?
Watch The Green Inferno, y'all. For anyone that's not, watch The Green Inferno. Literally just watched it today and absolutely loved it.
Is it on streaming?
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah, I still haven't checked that out.
Your best part about that is when the homeboy goes, oh no, they're high. That was great. That was great. I busted the gut on that one. That was
funny. I loved it. I seriously loved it.
What about you, Toxie J?
The only thing I could think of, and it's really hard to find the benefit of YouTube, check out a movie called Rolling Vengeance. Not a lot of people have heard of that movie. It's not really a horror movie. It's more like a revenge movie with some horror elements. I highly recommend it. Long story short, guy gets revenge by building a huge ass Mad Max monster truck and just starts mauling people down left and right. I thought it was great. So that was the one I can really recommend.
Nice. Ed?
The one I recommend, it's not full on horror, but if you're claustrophobic, this movie will scare the crap out of you. It's called Buried. It starts stars Ryan Reynolds. I literally just bought it today on Blu-ray for a dollar.
Yeah, that's what bothered me.
Buried is really good, and especially if you want to see Ryan Reynolds act and actually show that he's a great actor, and it's a great dramatic film. He gets buried alive in a coffin, and he has like a match, a cell phone that's about to die. If you have claustrophobia, I highly recommend watch that film. It's intense. It's actually, I believe, available on HBO Max, so you can watch it there. But man, it's a crazy intense horror. Like I would say, it's a little bit of horror because it's pretty scary, you know, getting buried alive.
That's a fucked up one.
It's a really good. So I'm glad Elm Street agrees on that. I'm glad somebody else saw it.
I like how they closed that movie out, and it wasn't the traditional happy ending. That was
fantastic.
I truly
Buried bothered me.
Buried. Watch Buried. It's really good. You know,
I'm not claustrophobic. I just think if I watch it, I'll get paranoid, and then I start to envision it. And then I'll start to freak out. So I'm like, no, I'm good.
All right. So I'm going to give out three just because I had them on the top of my head. I think they're important for anybody to watch. They're not either super horror related, but they're still within that realm. One of them, definitely, just because it's a psychological horror thriller and it bothered me towards the end. You have to see Suicide Club. That's a Japanese horror thrill movie that is really good. The mental aspect of that really disturbed me towards the end of the movie. For the shits and giggles of it, just because I thought it was fantastic, because it was just such an obscure idea for them to put it out there. Rubber was a hilarious horror movie about that crazy tire that made shit blow up. Fantastic.
Wow.
I love Rubber. Okay. That's a great movie.
Just funny.
It's a crazy intense film.
It was funny. Okay. It was like, for me, it didn't have to make sense because it was in the style. It was like film noir. It was like an experimental movie. That's why
I wish you
was like, you don't need an explanation. Just no reason.
Yeah. So those two are the primary ones I would definitely recommend somebody watch. Suicide Club, because it messes with your mind. Rubber, and then I mentioned this before, it's a very obscure one, not a lot of people watch, but I always recommend it just because the visuals will kind of be disturbing to you. The Cell.
Jennifer Lopez?
The Cell was a great one. Not enough people talk about it. The Cell was fantastic.
The Cell was dope.
Just the visuals and the scenes alone that they shot, perfection. So with that being said, you guys got our recommendations. You heard us talk and fight it out over physical media and streaming media. Big shouts out and thank you to Talk to Jay bringing in a special guest in the room. Thank you very much for being here with us, Elm Street Warrior. You were fantastic. You were a joy. We will definitely invite you back to further episodes. You were awesome, sir.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Yeah, hey, Elm Street. Anytime.
So before we go, Elm Street, what do you, where can our listeners see you, view you, give shouts out, what?
You guys can follow me on Instagram. I'm known as Elm Street Warrior. I'm always on there. And you can follow my YouTube page, which is the Elm Street Warrior as well.
And I believe you have a new, you're converting to a podcast as well, right?
Yes. I actually forgot to mention that. And also I started a live horror podcast called Horror Talk, which is also on my YouTube channel. So be sure to check that out. I think we're on at just finished the 15th or 16th episode, so
damn,
he's working hard.
Hey, I clap for that. Sir, you're on your way. That's good stuff.
On that hustle,
telling you.
Thank you so much, guys.
Oh, You're more than welcome. We appreciate having you. You're more than welcome to be on any episode. Just go and knock on our door on Instagram and be like, hey, I want to throw my 2 cents in there, and we'll just throw you into the collective. You'll be
100%.
Good.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, gentlemen. With that being said, this is this episode about physical media duking it out with streaming services. And the next episode we got coming up will be with good old Ed talking about it, where we pick apart and throw the bones at what the hell's going on with the DC movie universe. Not the animated, the live action movie universe. Let me fully explain that. It is going to be called the DCFU. Awesome name, Ed. Fantastic. So with that, you guys have been fantastic. You've been awesome. We appreciate you having on here. Again, shouts out to the Elm Street Warrior. Make sure you guys take a look at his Instagram page, take a look at his YouTube, take a look at his podcast. He is up and coming. Remember that name. I am, of course, again, Richard Zahm in the house for CFC Podcast alongside
Toxic J,
Evil Ed.
We're out of here. We'll see you guys next time.